97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're happy you're with us this morning. Lots going on. We're covering this Hurricane Milton that is heading toward Florida right now. If there's any good news to it, it has been downgraded a little bit. It was like a hurricane. It's like a one, and then it jumped up to a five category, mm-hmm. and now it's jumped back down to like a three or a four. Yeah. So they think it will be a three or maybe a four when it hits around the Tampa area, but it's going to cause a storm surge from Fort Myers all the way well north of Tampa. I don't know how far north, but they're evacuating people. I'm sure that I-75 north is a complete mess as millions of people try to flee the central part of Florida.
Yeah, I was looking at some local reporters in that area who were saying that a lot of those hardware stores were out of plywood because people were boarding up their homes or businesses. Gas stations were running out of gas. And gosh, the interstate was just at a standstill, basically, of people trying to get out of town.
I talked to my cousin's husband yesterday. They have a place on one of the Gasparilla Islands, which is just it'd be south of the Tampa St. Pete area and north of Fort Myers there. I can't tell you the name of the exact town, but he told me that in that last storm, the storm surge was enough that they lost two cars that were flooded that they're going to have to get rid of, right? And he said that after this latest storm that's coming through, he's betting that there will be a number of insurers who just leave Florida, who just refuse to write insurance policies anymore because the cost of repair is so high.
Are there many left, though? Because I've already heard it's a huge issue in Florida to get insurance coverage.
It is. It's a mess. And, you know, I mean, the actuaries will tell you that they're pretty good at estimating what their outlay and their income is going to be in the course of a year. But they're coming up on hurricane number, is this three, that's hit Florida pretty hard this year? I think it is.
I think so.
It's the third one. And I don't know what the average is on that, but every year it's happening. And it's not that the storms are worse. It's just that there are more people and more expensive property to repair every time they have to build it back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's a mess. We'll keep an eye on that for you. Some great sound from Ron DeSantis yesterday, though, on Kamala Harris and her response to all of this. And I will get to some of that for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We got Terry Schilling is going to join us to talk more about the final 30 days or so of this election. Election day is just about a month away now, and we're going to get to him in just a couple of minutes. But first, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
General Soldier.
What about FEMA?
FEMA and engineers and heavy equipment. What we're doing in their stead, and some finally did roll in, but we're just getting volunteers coming in with equipment and helping people.
Yeah, some great reporting last night from Swannanoa, North Carolina. Sarah Carter down there for the Hannity Show. Griff Jenkins is down there this morning for Fox as well, and we're going to get him live here in the 8 o'clock hour.
You have to separate what people are saying. They'll say, well, there's a bucket of money in FEMA that's gone to illegal aliens, and that's somehow separate than the bucket of money that should by right go to American citizens.
You know what I appreciate about J.D. Vance? He has a very calm way of just explaining things. That was a great example of it. You know, what they're doing here is conflating the money. Just what I told you yesterday, Vance just said it in a much more effective manner.
They say that the reason so many voters don't know you is that you have changed your position on so many things. You were against fracking, now you're for it.
Woo! Yeah, how about that? Bill Whitaker absolutely calling out Kamala Harris yesterday. You got to give him credit where you can. And her answer was epically bad.
You're a f- dude.
If he loses, a f-
it does seem that way.
How long do you think my prison sentence is going to be?
Yeah. Elon Musk, they're having a little bit of fun with Tucker Carlson, talking about what's going on with this election and his endorsement of Donald Trump. And, you know, he's got enough money. He's got that. He drops the F-bomb a lot. He's got FU money is what he's got. So if Donald Trump loses, he can certainly just sell what he owns and be happy the rest of his life with his 25 children. But he obviously doesn't want that to happen. He wants America to prosper, which is why he has endorsed Trump in this case.
Right.
But he's worried about that.
I mean, rightfully so. I don't know what Kamala would do to him if she were to be elected. But
between John Kerry and now this week, Hillary Clinton, if you heard that soundbite yesterday, Kamala Harris, Corinne Jean-Pierre, they throw around the word misinformation as if it is the end of the world, right? Because to them, misinformation is anybody who disagrees with their worldview. That's what they've determined it to be. Not whether it's the truth or fiction, but whether or not somebody disagrees. Corinne Jean-Pierre got called out on that yesterday by Peter Ducey. He said, you can't call something misinformation just because you disagree with it. Answer the question. Did you or did you not tell us in 2022 that FEMA was spending money on illegal aliens? Did you or did you not? Listen, this president and this vice president are committed to helping the victims of this storm. She won't answer the question. But the very premise of your story is misinformation, she said yesterday. And if they win again, if they get power again, they're going to turn their ire on people like Elon Musk.
Which is funny because they're the ones who are quick to say, oh, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy he's going to weaponize the Justice Department. And it's at the point where it's laughable because we're all watching that play out with them.
Kerry needs to regain power, he said the other day, so that we have enough complete power to fix this First Amendment problem that we have. I'm paraphrasing him, but if I can go back and find the bite. The First Amendment is a problem for him. The Second Amendment is a problem for liberals. What do you think is going to happen if they get in power? That's not about scaring anybody. Just listen to the words that are coming out of their mouths. Donald Trump hadn't threatened to lock anybody up that he disagrees with. But what are they afraid of with him? Because he's not beholden to any of them. There's not a lobbyist or somebody in Washington who can pick up the phone and tell Donald Trump what to do. He doesn't need their money. Elon Musk is the same way. Elon Musk doesn't need anybody's money. He's not swayed by their argument. Well, it's misinformation. Remember when ivermectin was misinformation? It was horse dewormer. Remember that? Could have saved untold thousands of lives, maybe hundreds of thousands. But ivermectin didn't make a profit for Big Pharma. So therefore, it was misinformation, and they played along with it. This is where we are in America these days. These are frightening times. You have to pay attention to what's going on. Tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote. Thousands and thousands, millions of gun owners and churchgoers are not registered to vote. Your vote matters. Make it happen. It's really easy to register. Please register to vote. We'll talk to Terry Schilling about what the stakes are in this election when we come back.
My plan is about saying that when you invest in small businesses, you invest in the middle class, and you strengthen America's economy. Small businesses are part of the backbone of America's economy.
But pardon me, Madam Vice President. The question was, how are you going to pay for it?
Well, one of the things is I'm going to make sure that the richest among us who can afford it pay their fair share in taxes. It is not right that teachers and nurses and firefighters are paying a higher tax rate than billionaires and the biggest corporations.
But
I plan on making that fair.
But we're dealing with the real world here.
But the real world includes...
How are you going to get this through Congress?
You know, when you talk quietly with a lot of folks in Congress, they know exactly what I'm talking about because their constituents know exactly what I'm talking about. Their constituents are those firefighters and teachers and nurses.
Unbelievable. You got to give Bill Whitaker a little bit of credit for pushing back. Let me get to my guest, Terry Schilling, president of American Principles Project and a strategist. Terry, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, what do you think about Kamala's 60-minute appearance yesterday?
You know, it's funny. That really is like a softball question, right? It's not that tough of a question. A tough question would be, you know, why did you let out all these convicted felons that went on to cause all this? This is, you know, all right, you have an aggressive plan. How are you going to pay for it? Can't even answer those questions. I think that we need more Kamala to be exposed to the American people. And if you do that, I think President Trump wins.
You know, Bill Whitaker, I'll give him credit where credit's due. I'm pretty hard on the mainstream media in this country. He came here a couple years ago and he did a real softball interview with our former circuit attorney, Kim Gardner. But in this case, he asked her some pretty hard questions and Tim Walz, and neither one of them stood up under the pressure very well, other than to say, well, I'm just a knucklehead. And he's like, well, you can be a knucklehead, but why should people believe they can believe anything you say?
No, that's exactly right. We have this weird thing in our American politics, which says that you have to be polite over honesty. You're right. And that's not how things should be. You're not going to get a lot of great public policy outcomes. And these guys just are not used to having an honest grilling.
What kind of an impact do you think an interview like the one we saw play out on 60 Minutes with Kamala Harris could have in the last month before this election? The liberals just so loyal to her and they just hate Trump that much that it's not really going to move the needle? Or do you think we could see some people saying she's not competent, she doesn't have a plan to run this country?
Well, that's exactly right. To be clear, the country's pretty polarized. The vast majority of people are either in Trump's camp or Kamala's camp. The amount of swing voters is actually very small, but there is that group still is going to decide this election. But also, so I think interviews like that hurt her with the swing voters that she needs to win in these key states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, North Carolina. Those are the most important states. But also, it doesn't have to be that they bring them over to voting for Trump. But if someone sees that their nominee that they would like to vote for over Trump is kind of a moron and or incompetent and not very smart, they might just not vote, right? And that's a plus one for Trump. So it's not just about bringing them over to voting for Trump, but maybe they stay home. Maybe they leave that line blank because they don't want to be part of electing Kamala.
Yeah, let's hope. Where do you see things standing this morning, Terry, when you look at this thing 1 month out? I mean, I see Donald Trump in a much better position polling-wise than he was in 2016 or 2020, for that matter.
I think that's exactly right. I have two words for this election. It's been this way for the last 2 months. Jump ball, right? This is a very tight race. Trump is closing the gap. He's even starting to – he came, I think, within 2 points of national polling of likely voters, which is a big deal. Republicans typically lose the national vote by 3 to 4 points, but they build a coalition of states to go over 270 in the Electoral College. I think he's pulling away in states like Pennsylvania and Arizona. And if he can close the deal in North Carolina and Georgia, I think this race is over.
Wow. And do you think this storm fallout with FEMA is having any sort of impact on I mean, the administration is adamant that they're doing everything they can. But when you hear the interviews with people on the ground, there seem to be some questions about how FEMA has handled this thing so far.
Yeah, look, I think that this is going to have a major impact on the election there in North Carolina, the federal government's response. If they really need to do not just a good job, but a perfect job, right? Because word gets out. The best form of marketing and advertising is word of mouth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm so sick of these guys in the legacy media pretending that everything's fine just because, oh, this governor over here said it's fine. And this mayor over here said it's fine. These are politicians. They lie to us. I'd rather trust the people on the ground more than anyone.
Yeah, I'm with you. Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Thank you this morning. I think he's people are, I think they're waking up, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I know I've watched the ads that Harris is running, like when I was, what was I watching the other night? Was it one of the football? Did I tune into one of the football games for a few minutes? And in a commercial break, there was a Kamala Harris ad. They're slickly produced. If you watched one, you might, if you're one of those people who's on the fence, you might think, oh, she's okay.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? If you're like that, do you just ignore all of the evidence that she can't answer questions?
The answer is yes. They absolutely
they
ignore
must
all of that.
Just ignore it. You got to be blind not to look at that and say, this person I wouldn't trust her to run my coffee shop, let alone the United States of America, for goodness sake. What are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? I don't know. Coming up, we're going to get to former Senator John Lamping, talk more about all those issues you're going to face on the ballot 1 month from today. Stay tuned. 1 month. It's counting down. By the way, I just counted the number of issues on this sample ballot that my mom received from St. Louis County. 43. Now, that includes all the judges. That's a pretty big chunk if you have to vote to keep or discard a judge. But I'm holding it up here if you're watching on X or Rumble this morning. It's pretty extensive. So the bottom line is you don't want to walk into the voting booth having not looked at this in advance, because you're going to be there for a while trying to figure out with the tiny little words on the ballot what each one of these amendments is going to do. We've got John Lamping on the phone, former Missouri senator. Great to have him in here this morning. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you. And Kim, thank God for your voter guide. I've already getting people texting me from the voting booth. What should I do on this? What should I do on that? I call up the guide and just to make sure I've got the right amendment.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. And it can be confusing, right? Five amendments on there and then the proposition, and that's just on the statewide ballot. St. Louis County has three other propositions on there, from what I can tell, Prop A, Prop C, and Prop O. Now, you know, I couldn't get into each and every one of those in my guide because each county has got different issues going on, and it would just be a little overwhelming. But I would still encourage people, they've got to familiarize themselves a little bit, John, because these things are intentionally confusing on the ballot.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Our government has stopped legislating. These are all issues that should be decided amongst a body of elected officials, but instead these interests are going directly to the ballot when they can, or the legislators themselves are punting and they're putting it on the ballot. You know, when you're down in Jeff City, or even at a local county board, these are very complicated issues that can take weeks and months, if not years, to ultimately come to some determination. And we're being asked to vote on them in 4 weeks in and amongst, you know, 30 or 40 other items. It's really a poor way to go about governing oneself.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about Amendment 5, which is the casino at the Lake of the Ozarks. Now, I'm a no on this because I'm not against casino gambling. I'm not, if it's something you want to do. It's odd to me how this went down. And now I see that there's an article in the Post this week that casino giant Bally's on Saturday put another $1 million into the campaign for casino at the Lake of the Ozarks. And they also got another $500,000 from some development company down in Eldon, which is right there at the Lake of the Ozarks. There is huge money behind this. But I talked to people, including my friend Lisa, who listens to the show every day, who said the people who live at the lake don't want this.
Yeah, well, I think the total dollars spent on this will end up being close to $30 million. This is a good example. Like, well, we don't like that how government is goes about its business. So think about what's happening here in this time. It's casino gambling, but it could be medical marijuana. It could be, you know, legal alcohol. Government allows something to happen, but they limit it. And when they limit it, that means that those that have access to it, they own something that's of tremendous wealth.
Yes.
And so the what they own, they'll protect with millions and millions of donation dollars. And then government says, well, we're going to limit this, but it's gambling, so we're not quite sure it's good for you. So we're going to regulate it.
Yeah.
And then there's another whole series of laws and legislations and rules. And think about this. Like, I'm a free market guy, as are you. If we have legalized gambling, why can't we just have gambling anywhere we want to have gambling? You know, why does it have to be just in the casinos? It's not like that. The fact that it's in the casino is protecting our interests. So I think when we vote no on things like this, what you know in your gut is this just doesn't seem right. We shouldn't be governing ourselves this way. And I'm going to vote no because it seems like that'll mess with the most people. But this time it's gambling, but it could be anything. How we go about regulating, it's a rigged game for a very small group of very large corporations in whatever industry.
Something else that's on the ballot is Proposition A, which would increase the minimum wage in Missouri to $15 an hour. We've seen the impact that this has had in other states. You look at California, all these restaurants, these fast food, you know, places having to shut down or increase their prices where it doesn't even make sense to go there anymore because it's $20 for a Happy Meal. I sadly think this is going to pass because all the people who come out to vote in favor of abortion, Amendment 3, are going to, I think, vote for this. Do you think this is going to pass? And if it does, I mean, what kind of, how quickly do you think we could see that impacting some of the prices here locally?
Well, I think it'll pass. And I think the reason it's on the ballot is twofold. And again, this is a proposition. It's not an amendment. So if the legislature wanted to change this when it becomes law, they can, but they won't because it's just politically, it just looks bad to say, I'm going to lower the minimum wage. But there are a lot of contracts, particularly government contracts, government employee contracts that are pegged to the minimum wage. So it could be that you have a job working in some state agency and your compensation is a function of, you know, it's 1.5 times minimum wage, the starting salary. So basically what you're doing is you're voting for the cost of government to go up immediately when this passes. And to the extent that it has broader ramifications, meaning that we walk into a McDonald's and there's all kiosks, well, I think that's kind of happening anyway. You know, most employers will tell you that the wage itself, the $15 an hour, in most cases, it's less than 2/3 of the total cost of employment, that all the other mandates that you have to offer health care, you have to offer days off, the payroll tax, all those things are becoming a bigger part of total employment. And so, yeah, it'll definitely lead to more automation.
Yeah, and the thing I point out in the voter guide that people need to read is that it's not just that it raises the minimum wage to $15 an hour. It guarantees that it will then continue to go up with a cost of living adjustment every year. So it's not just a false minimum wage level that they're setting. This thing in perpetuity will go up every year.
Well, and they have to offer their employees a certain amount of paid sick leave.
Well,
right?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a little bit of a nightmare. I just hope people look past the brief description of it that you're going to get on the ballot because it doesn't explain it.
The end result in a bad economy or a worse economy, it'll result in much higher unemployment rates that last for much longer. People don't know their history very well, but you know the FDR's New Deal back in the 30s, they actually created an agency which then dictated what every wage would be for every job. So back in the day, somebody would be a secretary and they would make $30 a week. That would be the market, and they decided it should be $50 a week. And a lot of economic historians would point to the creation of that mandate is why the unemployment rate lingered for so long. So today it's the minimum wage, and under the wrong regime, it could be where there's much more specific wage guidelines. And when you get into a slow economy, look, when you've got no job, you know, $12 or $13 an hour might be a job you take better than having nothing. But when you make the minimum wage $15 an hour, it just means you stay unemployed that much longer.
Yeah, it's a great point, John. Thanks for your time this morning.
Always great being with you, too.
Yep. Thank you. John Lamping, former Missouri senator. The voter guide, I keep getting people texting me, hey, by the way, is your voter guide posted yet? I don't know what else I can do to make this thing available. 971talk.com. It's that simple. It's right on the front page. Go there. Take a look at it. We hopefully today are going to get it in like downloadable form of a PDF. So far, it's been posted up there like a picture, but you can still read it. And all of the information is there. And there's no reason why you need to walk into the voting booth uninformed on at least these major statewide issues. When I kind of explain it to you in plain language, what they do and what the impact of them will be. Coming up, we'll get to another news with Ethan next hour. Todd Pyro. I'd love to get his take on this whole Peter Ducey, Corinne Jean-Pierre dust up yesterday in the White House press briefing room. We'll be right back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
It looks like Sissy Houston, acclaimed soul singer and mother of pop icon Whitney Houston, she has passed away at the age of 91. Houston died Monday morning in her New Jersey home while under hospice care for Alzheimer's disease.
Wow, what a tragic life she lived, right? I mean, I know she had money and all that and was a recording star, but losing her daughter and then her granddaughter. Wow, the same way, right? They both drowned in a bathtub.
Really?
Didn't
I didn't know the granddaughter did, too.
Yeah,
buddy.
Whitney Houston's daughter drowned the same way she did.
Christina.
Yeah, just awful.
Yeah.
Wow.
But she was a woman of faith. She won several Grammys for doing gospel music.
So. Was that her song she was singing, or was that a cover?
That was a Willie Nelson cover.
That was a cover.
She only had, one pop hit, and it was a disco song from the 70s.
Okay.
So
I tried finding something.
Mark would be the only one that knows it.
Did you want to try to sing it, or?
No, I didn't even hear it.
Oh.
What was it, girl?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Because I listened to it, and I said, I don't know this song.
I didn't know that song, yeah.
I wasn't in the clubs when I was 7 years old.
She did create
one. You waited until you were 9 before you went clubbing.
She's responsible.
Create one of the greatest voices in history,
for sure.
Looks like Amazon is seeking to dismiss a class action lawsuit from Prime Video users upset about the addition of ads unless they pay the extra $2.99 a month. In its defense, Amazon pointed to its terms and conditions, which allows the company to modify Prime benefits, including Prime Video, and emphasized that it never guaranteed ad-free content. So they're going to they're trying to get it thrown out. We'll see if it really does. I've been following this for a little while now because that guy put in there that he was deceived into paying the $2.99 for ads because when he first signed up, there were no ads. Why should I be paying for it? Kind of agree.
I've always been hesitant to give them more money just to avoid having to watch the ads, but I am irritated by them, I'll have to admit.
Yeah, drive you nuts.
All the streaming services are going that route.
I know.
Where you get the streaming service, but then you have to pay an additional fee if you want to have it ad-free.
Yeah, you're already paying for it. Right?
Here's an extra $3 to not have to watch all the ads.
Thank you.
Well, we were actually talking about this last night at WWE Next Door. It's going to be on Netflix next year. And I said, that'll make the Raw and SmackDown shows faster because they won't have to take ad breaks. And someone said, what makes you think they're not going to take ad breaks? Yeah. Because the wrestlers just vamp everyone thinks while they go to commercial, they're still fighting. Wrestling. They're still wrestling then. And they believe that model is going to stay the same just so now Netflix can have ads. And like when you watch Amazon football game on Prime, they still have all the ads on there, and no one's complaining about that.
You mean in the commercial breaks, they'll keep acting. They're not wrestling.
They're wrestling, acting. Mark.
They're acting.
Do not ruin this for
me. It's fake.
Yeah, Mark, I think it's kind of stupid.
Mark, you would have loved the 10-woman Royal Rumble last night.
Oh, what are you suggesting, Carl?
It was really interesting to watch.
It looks like in April of 2025, the cost of Mega Millions lottery tickets are going to increase from $2 to $5 as part of a major overhaul aimed at enhancing the game. Lottery officials announced that the changes will improve jackpot odds, lead to more frequent billion-dollar jackpots, and increase non-jackpot payouts with built-in multipliers ranging from 2x to 10x, potentially boosting prizes up to $10 million. Additionally, all wins will exceed the cost of the ticket, eliminating break-even prizes. So,
yeah, big deal. I think this hurts their sales.
I think it hurts
their sales. I might go in and plop down $10 if Mega Millions is $800 million or whatever, right? That's going to get me 5 tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go in and plop down $10 for 2 tickets. I'm just not going to. I think that's ridiculous.
So
will buy fewer tickets. They're not going to have as much. I think people will buy fewer tickets. And the people that won't are the ones that are addicted to it who can least afford it.
Yes.
Right.
It's a sin tax.
Powerball is not changing its prices.
Not yet. And Sue Thomas will now be saving money
more money than she would have before because she never played to begin with. But go ahead.
It looks like federal investigators have launched a probe into 2015 through 2017 Ford Edge SUVs after receiving 36 complaints of sudden brake loss. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is conducting a preliminary evaluation to assess the safety risks, which could affect about 370,000 vehicles. The issue caused by rear brake hose failure leads to increased stopping distance and raises the risk of crashes. Good luck.
So many recalls of just issues with cars. And I mean, you hear a lot about the EV stuff and where they were blowing up, right?
Yeah.
Elon would like you to not talk about that. That's misinformation.
Please sorry, do
not
Elon.
One other one. Merriam-Webster has added 200 new words and phrases to its online dictionary to better reflect the evolving English language.
Well, what dumb words have been added?
Here we go. Leading the additions are political terms like MAGA, defined as a political movement. As far as,
is that
as
really
well
how
as,
it's defined?
Yeah, it says political movement, advocating for stricter immigration policies and pre-globalization practices.
How about advocating for making America great again? It's pretty simple, but go ahead.
They're also adding far left, far right, late capitalism, and classical liberalism. Popular slang words are going to be for you page. I've never heard that,
what?
But I'm not young.
It's a thing on Instagram.
And also touch grass.
Never heard of that either.
I've heard of touch grass.
Touch grass is...
What is that?
Going outside.
It makes, yeah.
Oh.
Get out of your house.
Is that where you walk around barefoot and they say...
No,
I mean,
it's an outside
experience.
To go
experience do stuff outside.
Because you
go
actually,
touch grass.
Oh.
Go going outside.
Very literal.
Grass. Great.
Unless you roll it up first.
Can't wait.
Oh, my gosh.
Get my
Ethan,
hands on that.
I heard that.
Hey, coming up, the issue of ghost guns in court again today. We'll cover it.
Get more at 971talk.com.